interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy hump day to you. And what a happy Wednesday, May 15th it is, in South Louisiana. With that, we welcome you in. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. For the next 2 hours, we will be Pels fanatics. You got to have that reaction when what went down last night at 7:52 p.m. Central Time transpires. We will be Pels heavy in hour number one. Maybe against my better judgment even, we're going to be guest free from inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. That's the way we're going to play it. Don't make me regret this. I feel like a substitute teacher who's given carte blanche. I want you to call in. You get my reaction off top. The Pels land the top overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft. No guest scheduled for hour number one. My take, I got a question for you on the other side of our opening break, but I want you to weigh in. I want you to revel in the joy of Zion to New Orleans, and then, and this part's important, what happens next? 706-0111. And what I'll tell you to lead off today, from Magic Johnson's slap in the face insult of an offer until last night, as I mentioned, at 7:52 p.m., what a few month stretch it has been. Then it was, really? That's all you think AD is worth? Now it's get the hell in line, Los Angeles. You can join Boston, New York, whoever else wants to come to us. We hold all the cards. The Pels have all the leverage. Because the Pelicans have all the assets. And oh, by the way, in between Magic's offer and what happened last night was the prevailing thought that no one could offer New Orleans what Boston could. I'm not sure that's the slam dunk case at all anymore. What I do know is the Pels' restart has been hastened by winning the Zion sweepstakes. And if somehow AD stays and that fence could be mended, there is no rebuild. There's just contention in the West. I'll lead off with some of David Griffin's words from last night. This is what he told Zach Lowe of the Mothership. This is the perfect way to look at it, in my estimation. Quote, we could be Oklahoma City with Paul George. We can hold on to him, meaning Davis, and let him see what we really are. Winning the lottery changes how quickly he could buy into it. It gets us closer. Every day, maybe he believes a little more. As much as elite talent likes to play with elite talent, I can't imagine any elite player in his prime looking at our situation and saying to himself, there's a better grouping to play for than ours. And so Griffin has a potential bargaining chip with Anthony Davis. But so many, including Shams Charania of the Stadium and the Athletic, reporting last night, even after the lottery, that AD is still going to want to trade. And I tend to agree with that from 1,000 feet. That's the way that I've been reading the situation. And in my opinion, good. And good riddance, AD. I would rather personally have the future first rounders. I would rather have the young talent. I would rather have the cash and wherewithal to go out and get another star, a different star, a complimentary piece to build on Drew and Zion. By the way, Zion, 7 years, Anthony Davis's junior. And in case you haven't noticed, a ticket-selling machine, 2,500 season tickets sold overnight. And so could this lead to AD staying? I suppose it can't hurt, but I'm kind of hoping that's not the case. In fact, I'll give you my dream scenario here momentarily. But right now, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ron, you're up first on this joyous Wednesday. What you got for me?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy too. I got two things for you, Ben. First of all, and I made a comment on your show a few weeks ago that I think Dan Schrader, the general manager who got fired, done the best thing for the Pelicans. Not fooling with the Lakers. I thought that before, and it's working out for us. And my second question is basically getting your comment on this or your take on it. Would that be feasible or smart for the Pelicans maybe to hold on to Anthony Davis until maybe the all-star break or the trade deadline or however it works to next year? Maybe you could see where the team is going and then trade him at the all-star break or something like that?
It becomes a very real possibility. I'll address it. Thank you, Ron. And he said Gentry. I think he means Dell Demps. No doubt about it. Jettisoning. How about that for a $14 word on a Wednesday? Getting the hell rid of Dell Demps is absolutely one of the best things that could have happened to the franchise. And I'm here to tell you, even had the Pels landed between, let's say, 3 and 7 in the draft, if the ping pong balls bounced that way last night at Chicago, even with the 3 through the 7 pick, I'll take my chances with David Griffin reshaping and rebuilding this franchise. The fact that they now have the number one, brothers, sisters, that is absolutely lagniappe if you're in New Orleans or Lafayette. Spent a lot of time in Baton Rouge this weekend. It's still lagniappe there. It's extra. It's icing on the cake. It's going to accelerate the rebuild. But let's get to Ron's second point. Is it beneficial, is it advantageous for Griffin and the Pels to hold on to Anthony Davis through the All-Star break? The answer to that question is it certainly could be. Davis showed his backside during the second half of this season. Here's the problem. While this coup last night may change AD's mind, what does it do to potentially change the mind of Rich Paul, LeBron James, and Clutch Sports Management? That's the cancer that has infected Anthony Davis. Make no bones about it. You'll notice he was a good citizen, and look, he still is in good standing. I'm not trying to suggest that he's, you know, run afoul of the law, but his perception hadn't run afoul of the fan law before he got in bed with Clutch Sports Management. If they still have their hooks in him, which they do, and they still want him out west, which you know they do, then I'm not really sure how much last night matters. I'd rather get rid of the malcontent and try to find a way to build on this new outstanding nucleus. You'll notice I'm not spilling the beans yet on my ideal scenario, because you probably guessed it. Maybe I've become predictable 4 years into doing the program. I got a question on the other side of our first break, and then I'll tell you what I think they should do next, other than, of course, drafting Zion Williamson. Let's take more of your thoughts. We'll get back out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Justin, welcome to the program. How great was that last night?
That was awesome, Ben. I say you draft Zion number one, and you ship Anthony Davis to the Lakers for the number four pick, Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball.
Kuzma, Ball, and the number four, that's not bad at all. And it's high on my list of possibilities, but I'm with you. I don't think keeping AD is the way to go. It's an option. I don't think it is the way to go. Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome, Ben.
How about that? I mean, this guy is absolutely reading the tarot cards. It's like he knows the question. I almost feel like we should play the music from that crappy song or that crappy show from decades ago. Clint, you got to help me out here. Love Boat? Is that who we pilfer from every day in the 4 o'clock
hour?
Yeah,
that's the Love Boat.
Okay. So I guess I'll keep that tradition sacred. On the other side of the break, we'll officially play the Love Boat theme, and then I'll ask the question. But I think you could smell what the Rock is cooking here. Justin's already there. Kuzma, Ball, and the fourth overall for Anthony Davis. I want more. I'll tell you about it on the other side of this break. In fact, this is a pretty good time to take a quick recess. You know the question that's coming. We've got a whole hour to explore the space. I appreciate Ron and Justin jumping in. Last night is a defining moment for the future of this franchise. And it's another feather in the cap of David Griffin. But like I told you, I don't think this cat needed it. The Pels were going to be back into contention quicker than the Lakers and quicker than a lot of folks thought they could be just by getting Griffin. With this, consider it gas on the fire. This is going to get exciting really quickly. And one of the worst takes in recent memory was spit by Colin Cowherd earlier today. And yeah, I'll be addressing that as well. Big time program, no guests in the 4 o'clock hour, just more of me, you, And if Clint behaves, he can get in on the act as well. We'll be chopping it up between 4 and 5. Just call us up. You can get in the queue right now. 706-0111. We will have two guests in our 5 o'clock hour. Scott Alexander. We're going to New Orleans to talk with the host of Primetime Sports on Cox Sports Television. Scott, of course, a former agent dealing with NBA players as well. He's the perfect guy to have on. We'll have him at straight up 5 o'clock. And then James Buers, as we briefly break from the big story of the day, we're going to put a bow on the high school baseball season. James Buers with the Acadian Advocate joins us at 5:45. We are fired up on this Wednesday, May the 15th. We're coming right back, and we're taking your phone calls. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Yeah, you know, obviously we can't talk about picks right now, but we're going to get a really good player. You know, probably a guy that's going to be a generational player. So we're excited about that.
His name is Zion Williamson. Alvin Gentry can't say it, but I can. And this is the part where it gets really fun. This is where we get to prognosticate about what else they do, you know, other than drafting the Duke star. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And we're going to take a trip out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Kevin from Ville Platte, thanks for waiting through the break. How do you react to the news?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on the show. Now, I'm a diehard Laker fan. So, but if I was the GM, what I would do is I'd draft Zion. I would trade to the Lakers for the fourth pick for Kuzma, Ball, maybe, you know, a Josh Hart or somebody. And I would draft Aubrey Dawkins. Remember how Dawkins lit it up in the tournament? I think those guys together will be an awesome team.
They would be.
What do you think about that one?
I like that because I don't mind the idea of getting the Lakers fourth. I'm just not in love. Kevin just called and said that. Justin did earlier as well. We appreciate the call, Kevin. Keep representing Ville Platte, by the way. I'm not in love with the idea of what the Lakers have to offer that's currently on their team. I'm sorry. I'm just not enamored with Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball. The team's already got Drew Holiday. And I know that it's a modern NBA where you need 2 points. Okay, well, they got another guy that can run it when they need it currently. And I think they'd be smart to re-sign him in Elfrid Payton. I'm not in love with Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma. Even if you move up the line and you can maybe get somebody else that's currently on that Lakers roster, I've got my eye on something a little different. CeeDee, why don't we let that cat out of the bag? It starts with a question, and before that, technically it starts with this awful but somewhat hilarious theme music.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day. Yeah, we tipped our hand here. How should the Pels proceed now armed with the number one overall pick? Keep your thoughts coming. We've already got two. Justin and Kevin from Ville Platte. They both like the ideas of trading with the Lakers and getting the number four pick. Now, all of this is contingent on keeping the number one overall pick and drafting Zion Williamson. What else should they do? 706-0111. CD, I'm going to be rude. I'm going first, brother. They absolutely should trade with the New York Knicks. There's a noticeable drop-off, in my opinion, and in that of all the NBA draft mock boarders out there that you and I trust, there's a noticeable drop-off from the top three and everybody else that's available this year. It's Zion Williamson, one. Then, depending on how you like him, John Morant, RJ Barrett, 2-3. I personally would take Morant second overall, and then a bit of a drop-off. Kevin gave a name, and not a bad one. There's some other players that maybe are coming up the draft board, but I don't think you have this year's Luka Doncic in the draft. In other words, there's no international player that's a little bit unknown that's got just humongous upside. I want to draft from the college ranks this year, and I want one of the best three players. No, scratch that. I want two of the best three players, and there's a reason why. So my ideal scenario, I'm drafting Zion number one, and between now and June 20th, I am trading Anthony Davis to the New York Knicks. And in return, there are two options I'll accept. I like one better than the other. In return for Anthony Davis, I want the number three overall pick this year. I want Kevin Knox. That's non-negotiable. And the one I don't like as much, I'll take Mitchell Robinson. So I will accept the deal, if I'm David Griffin, of the number three overall, Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson from Chalmette High. But what I really would like is the number three overall, Kevin Knox, and a 2020 first rounder. Because even if the Knicks get better this year, they still ain't going to be drafting in the final 5 to 10 picks. I'm still in pretty decent territory, range, odds, whatever you want to say, of getting a lottery pick if I own the Knicks pick in 2020. So what I want, in effect, is the number one and three overall picks this year, Kevin Knox to start right away on the wing for me, and then a 2020 first rounder. Because here's the real truth. Then you ain't paying nobody on your roster in the near future. Big, big bucks outside of Jrue Holiday, who they've already maxed out. I'm good with that. He's the heartbeat of this team. But think about it. Kevin Knox is on his rookie deal. You'll inherit that. Zion Williamson will be on his rookie deal. You'll have the number three overall pick. Say it's RJ Barrett. He'll be on a rookie deal. And so will the cat you draft in 2020. I want to restart without the malcontent, Anthony Davis. I want two of the top three picks this year. You might end up with both of the Dookies. That's fine. And then I want a first rounder next year. But the Kevin Knox piece is important. And he might not quite be what Jason Tatum is, right? Their ceilings may be a little different. I would think the Tatum's a little bit higher. But Kevin Knox is a starter in this league on just about any team. That is what I want. So I will accept the number three overall Knox and Mitchell Robinson. What I prefer is number three overall Knox and next year's first round pick from New York. CD, what say you?
Man, I think you just crushed it with that one. I absolutely like that one. But of course, I'm going to go a little bit different here and go with them obviously drafting Zion Williamson. And then a little bit after the draft, probably after July 1st, once all the free agency stuff gets hot and heavy, then you make the move to trade Anthony Davis to the Boston Celtics. You brought up Jason Tatum. I absolutely love Jason Tatum as a player. And I can imagine having Zion Williamson, Jrue Holiday, Elfrid Payton, and maybe Jason Tatum on that team and maybe get some more draft picks down the line, 2020 first round. Because you know that you could probably wind up getting something decent towards the middle of the draft next year. You can wind up building up some annuities, if you will, in terms of draft picks going forward.
I just don't think your roster for this next season is that much different if you make the Knox deal or you make the Tatum deal. The difference with what I'm suggesting, you're going to get the number three overall pick.
I'm just not sold on Knox.
You can't see Boston. Boston's top pick in this year's draft is going to be number 14 overall.
Yeah.
Give me R.J. Barrett, or if Memphis goofs up and takes R.J. because they want to keep Mike Conley, which I doubt.
Yeah,
I think the more likely scenario is the Pels draft Zion number one, Memphis drafts Ja Morant number two and deals Mike Conley somewhere.
Yep.
And then if you're New Orleans and you trade the Knicks and you get the number three, I will absolutely take a core that has Jrue Holiday, R.J. Barrett, Kevin Knox, Zion Williamson, and Julius Randle. You mentioned Elfrid Payton. He's a great piece. He's a backup on my team. He might have to start on your team. And that's not a slight to Elfrid Payton, but he's a nice sixth, seventh, or eighth man. That's what he should be if the Pels are dealing this thing correctly. I'm here to tell you, with last night's results, not just New Orleans to number one, but New York at number three, I think the Knicks might be the most worthy trade partner that the Pels have now. Perhaps not Boston. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Keith, you've heard from me. Let's hear from you.
Ben, I'm all in with the idea with the Knicks. First off, they were all in with Zion, thinking that they were going to hit big with him. I think they're going to be willing to give the fans something, and they're going to be desperate. They're going to give the Pelicans whatever they need to get Anthony Davis over there. And you have a Duke connection with a young roster. New Orleans is cooking up something. I think Boston, they don't know what Kyrie is going to do. So they're going to be willing to kind of hold on to Tatum and a couple of those other young guys. So right now, they're pretty much going to try to fish you. So you have to go with the Knicks.
I completely agree. I might surprise you in a second, though, with what my second preferred option would be. Thank you, Keith.
You got it.
I like that. Of course I like it. He agrees with me. But here's what I'll tell you as we head toward our second break of the program. First option for me is the Knicks deal that I laid out. Greatly prefer a 2020 first rounder to Mitchell Robinson as kind of the throw into the deal. The Knicks for me is option number one. Option number two is what Ron called and said about 20 minutes ago. Option number two for me is hold on to AD and see what happens by the All-Star break. I would prefer that to the Lakers poo-poo platter and the number four overall pick. Sorry, that's just how I feel. And I'm really not sure what Boston's about because of exactly what Keith just said. What are they going to do, and when can they do it with Kyrie? I don't love the idea of AD sticking around because I'm not sure that you could put this separated marriage back together. But Ron's right. There might be some inherent value in keeping him and seeing if he likes what they have working by the time you get about 40 games into the season. We got all hour to discuss this, and now it's down to a half hour. Make sure you call when we return. 706-0111. I've also got some news on LSU Texas football. Their game is on the schedule. It's prime time. I'll tell you all about it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports coming back on 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Foolish ownership needs to be taken advantage of. And for once, the Pels aren't on the bad end of that. More on this. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love, the famous Clint D, and how about some more from you? We got time for the next half hour. Your thoughts on what transpired last night. Maybe more importantly, what you would do if you were David Griffin. What comes next? 706-0111. I just led in by telling you, foolish ownership, you should always try to take advantage of that. And that's long been the situation for the New York Knicks. Maybe James Dolan has calmed a little bit, and the heir to his throne is now in Phoenix for, you know, taking that title, most foolish owner. But what the Knicks have done isn't terribly foolish in the sense that they've cleared room for two max players. What I'm suggesting is this. Give them one of them. Let it be Anthony Davis. Let them deal with the financial headache. Let them build by having to spend. If I'm New Orleans, I want to build through the draft. I want to do it the way that Golden State did, because you're not paying people up front nearly as much as some of these other plans that are out there. I'm going to give one of the submissions we've got on Facebook. This is a really good idea. I just don't think it's the best, but I'm going to give a shout out here to Joshua. He's answered our sink or swim question. How should the Pels proceed now armed with the number one overall pick? Joshua says, draft Zion and convince AD to stay around. Convince him by bringing in one of the top-tier free agents hitting the market this year. Doesn't have to be a KD or a Kyrie. Try to swing like a number two guy. Klay Thompson would be a nice addition along with those two and Holiday. You're not wrong, Joshua, but the reason that I kind of take a different path here is that I want to do it the Golden State way. It's a copycat league, and it needs to be, because they drafted Klay, and they drafted Steph, and they drafted Dre, and they got some of these guys in spots where others didn't want them. Here, there's no hiding. You get to take the number one and three overall picks if you deal with New York. A couple of our callers have said L.A. All right, then you get the number one and number four picks this year. My solution has the Saints, listen to me, the Saints, yes, there is another franchise, and they've had a big day. I can remember their name. The Pelicans could end up with the two Duke kids this year and pay them rookie deals. They get Kevin Knox and fill that long-standing void on the wing, and he's a second-year player, and then they'd have a 2020 first-rounder. Build through the draft. And again, part of the reason I like the Kevin Knox situation, he's 6'9", 215. We can stop crying tears in our beers about filling the wing. If you do it this way, Drew runs the point. R.J. Barrett is 6'7", 202. You know what that is in the NBA? That's a shooting guard. Put a little more bulk on him. But the guy was a consensus first-team All-American, for crying out loud. Think of the roster disparity. Drew's your starting point guard. You know that. R.J. Barrett starts on the wing as a two-guard. Kevin Knox is your starting wing. Zion Williamson is your power forward. And in the modern NBA, Julius Randle can be your center. That is one hell of a starting five. And, oh, by the way, you're not breaking the bank for anybody. The idea of keeping AD and then trying to spend to get Klay Thompson, I just don't know how long you keep those cats. And you're spending a whole lot of money to try and prove a point. I don't know if that's my preferred. All right, let's get out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Again, enough of me. We need you. Dale, you're up.
What's going on, man? Enjoying the show? Man, you hit it on the head just now, man. Everything I wanted to say. Look, man, as much as I love AD, you get rid of AD and you save yourself a little money and you build a team out of the draft and you have players in free agency that's crying to come to New Orleans. New Orleans is in the best situation I've seen any NBA team in a very, very long time.
Yes. Yes. And Dale, you know what? This last offseason, Rondo went to L.A., Boogie went to Golden State. If you go my route, or maybe even the Lakers' route, in 3 years, those guys are coming to you for your point exactly.
Oh, 100%. And you know what? You said something earlier, you take advantage of poor ownership. Look, man, it's not a secret that the Knicks have been poorly ran for a long time. Man, take advantage of that. You know, make the trade with the Knicks. Send him to New York. Take their third pick and get what you can get out of that. And you build out of the draft. You have some awesome players coming up. The next seven picks after the first pick, which is definitely going to be Zion Williams. But the next seven picks is going to be some pretty decent players, man. The next four picks are going to be starters.
There's no question.
You know, you're going to get another star. You're going to get another potential starter. The kid from Murray State, he didn't play a lot of ball, against a lot of competitive teams. But man, if you watch this kid is athletic, and he's a baller, man.
I love Ja Morant. I think he goes 2 overall to Memphis, and they trade Mike Conley. That's my sense of it. Thank you for the call, Dale.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, Dale's fired up on a Wednesday. We are too. Let's take some more of your calls. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Doc, thank you for waiting. What do you say about everything that's transpired and what comes next?
I guess I was going to say the Knicks. I don't know enough. I don't follow enough basketball to kind of say, but I certainly think if he was thinking of going up there, that would be my suggestion to try to trade it for it. But my only issue with that is you mentioned something about malcontents and how Anthony Davis was – you know, doesn't want to be there. You know, I think Zion Williams, that'd be the one concern I would have, is his actions at the draft. You know, if he bolted as soon as he found out New Orleans got the first pick, I would question whether or not how happy he's going to be here. And are we going to be, you know, is he going to give it his all? Is he going to be fighting? Is it going to become more of a cancer, kind of like we're just getting rid of AD to replace him with another guy that doesn't want to be there? And where does that go?
I just don't know that I'm ready to slap that label on Zion Williamson just yet, but I know exactly of what you speak. Thanks for the call, Doc.
Yeah, no worries.
I'm not willing to go there yet on Zion, and there's one thing Zion could have done about, I don't know, 2.5 months ago that all of us would have understood, but it would have made us a little sour on him all the same. If after the Nike shoe blow-up incident in the first UNC game, if after that he had hung it up completely and then the Pels land the number one overall pick, then we might be questioning how much of a team guy he is. But so much of the sound last night from Alvin Gentry. In fact, you know what? I'm going to run some of that down right now and let you hear it. So much of Alvin Gentry's sound last night, he can't reference Zion directly, but he did say, hey, here's what Grant Hill told me about the kid. Listen to how many times he says the word team here.
The one thing that he said about him is that the thing he loves best about Zion is that he's all about the team. You know, he won't do individual interviews, very few individual interviews that doesn't involve the team. Great team guy. So obviously, that would be a guy that you would want to add to your roster if you possibly could.
If you're taking shots, those were three team shots right there. I'm just saying, I'm not too worried about it, because the fact is this. At the collegiate level, kids go from high school to college and choose coaches that they are comfortable with. We hate to say that. We'd like to say that they choose institutions, programs, academic courses, especially for the one-and-dones on the basketball side. They choose coaches, and not even always head coaches. They often choose assistant coaches who follow them throughout their whole AAU career, who know everybody in their circle. So from high school to college, they choose coaches. From college to the pros, I know that Colin Coward's going on the rant, and he referenced Eli, and he referenced John Elway and Eric Lindros, and I'm not sure all that is apples to apples with the situation with Zion. In fact, I know it ain't. But you don't get to choose, but when you do in free agency, what do they choose? The super friends are all choosing to play with one another. They're choosing to win. But the savvy ones, yeah, they want to be on good rosters, but here's the thing. They'd rather be with great ownership / management who will continue to reframe great rosters. If you need the best example in the NBA, it's actually not Golden State. It's San Antonio. To go from the Robinson to Duncan and now the post-Duncan era, even while shedding Kawhi Leonard, they continue to be extremely relevant in the NBA. Why? Greg Popovich, R.C. Buford, and the management team in San Antonio. And so, yeah, you want to play with your banana boat brethren. I hear you, LeBron and Chris Paul and everybody else. Carmelo, I hear you. But if you're LeBron and you get off the banana boat, what happens when you've got crappy management / ownership? Exactly what's going on right now. I would rather be in a situation with David Griffin calling the shots. I'm playing with Drew Holiday right away. I am the man on my team. And R.J. Barrett may be coming with you. That's the other reason, Doc. I'm not worried about the malcontent part. If they do this deal with the Knicks especially, the guy's going to get to play with a fellow Dookie. They'll come into the league and grow together. I'm not particularly worried about Zion Williamson being a malcontent. Or put a different way, I'm willing to give him that benefit of the doubt. He's given me no reason to question that so far. All right, let's get back to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Dusty, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Man, brother Love, I'm just glad that for once the New Orleans Pelicans finally got some luck of the draw. You know what I'm saying? You know, this kid is a hardworking kid. Hopefully, I can't see us not draft him for whatever reason. If we do, we're the worst, like, ownership, period. But anyway, I think people are reading too much into Zion's disappointment. I could kind of see where he's coming from. I mean, I think the kid wanted to play with LeBron, personally. Everybody's talking about the Knicks, but I think he wanted to play with LeBron. I mean, he was probably 8, 9 years old when LeBron first got in the league, you know, and even before that, how famous LeBron was. You want to play with somebody like that. But I think this kid's going to be a big future ahead of him. He could be this next generation Shaquille O'Neal if I have to guess.
And, you know, it's a good example that you brought up there, Dusty, because when Shaq got to Orlando, what, there was a young Penny, maybe Dennis Scott on the roster, and they were pretty unproven as well. It took about 3 or 4 years, and they were playing in the NBA Finals, going up against Hakeem and the Houston Rockets. Thank you, Dusty.
All right, buddy.
I get Doc's point. I saw what he did last night. I'm not going to let that tell the kid's entire story. What we are going to do is take our final break of the hour. YP, you people out there in listener land, bringing it so far. We gave you the whole hour. You're taking advantage. Hit us up again on the other side, and I will give you the news on LSU, Texas, when they'll play the second week of September in the college football season. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at
1037 The Game.
Quick football note and then right back to basketball business. Bumper to Bumper Sports back in with you on 103.7 The Game. LSU hasn't traveled to Austin, Texas to play a football game since 1954. They last played the Longhorns 2002 in the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. They will play in Austin Saturday, September the 7th, and we now know kickoff is set for 6:30 Central Time. It'll be televised on ABC as part of the network's Saturday Night Football package. How about that? 6:30 kickoff, LSU, Texas, from the home of the Burnt Orange on September the 7th. I think Danny Jones getting the tinglys just from hearing that. Again, we'll have plenty of time to talk football today, especially as we wrap up hour number one. It's all about the Pelicans and the basketball side of things. Hit us up. Give us your thoughts. Some really good calls so far. We want more. 706-0111. The turd in the punch bowl on this situation is Colin Cowherd, Fox Sports. And the salient quote that's making the rounds, I will read it to you. I'm not going to New Orleans if I'm Zion. Nope. This kid has got 9 years of peak talent. He's trained his whole life for this. He gets an opinion, too. Elway got one. Eli got one. Lindros got one. He doesn't get one. I'm not sure that this is anywhere close to apples. I don't think you have anywhere near the leverage in this situation that Elway did by, for one, involving baseball. I don't think you have the leverage that Eli did with, well, you know, Archie. There are so many different ways that I'm not sure that that creates a parallel conversation to Zion Williamson and what's ahead of him. I also know this. What went down in Chicago last night, it wasn't great news necessarily for the NBA, right? They won't get one of their chief stars to one of their chief markets. But it's not bad for Zion. And that's what I think that Colin Cowherd may be missing here. I'm not going to play local talk show host that just gets indignant to be indignant, because I get why this doesn't fit the agenda of the big market needs of any professional sports organization. But this isn't bad news for Zion. On one hand, he could play with Anthony Davis, and suddenly this roster would give you one of the top five or six rosters in the Western Conference right now, and it would. Or Anthony Davis gets traded. You play with R.J. Barrett right away. You still potentially have a borderline playoff roster, maybe right on the outside looking in the West. And, oh, by the way, you're going to get to build with these guys and probably get another first-rounder next year, depending on who you deal with. This isn't a bad situation for Zion Williamson. He's got a chance to play on a winning team for a lot of years to come. You want to go to New York and lose for the next 2 or 3 years? You want to go to L.A. and be a part of that dumpster fire? New Orleans is a better situation than either of those two, in my estimation. All right, let's get back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ryan, thank you for calling. What do you make of it?
Oh, well, first of all, Cowherd, man, I had to block him on Twitter. That was the end of that. That was just ridiculous of a comment, of a rant he went on. Pretty embarrassing, but it's large markets. That's what we got to deal with, I guess. So I prefer still the Celtics package, simply because I think it's a mix of winning now and the future. I think you can win now with Tatum starting at small forward, with Smart or even Rozier, who I would actually be interested in Rozier if he's coming off the bench or starting, Smart and Jaylen Brown maybe. So three of those four, and then getting, I know it's not the third pick and it's a clear consensus in the draft for the top three, but the 14th, the 20th, and the 22nd, I believe they have. And at that point, that's building for the future. Throwing the darts at the board, maybe getting a European guy, getting somebody at, you know, let Griffin go to work and get somebody, you know, two of those three hit or one of those three hit, then that's not bad. So I would still say that will probably appease Drew Holiday. Barrett, I like him, but I think he's going to be a little raw to start with. So to mix of winning now and kind of building for the future, I would prefer the Celtics. So I'm going to hang up and I'm going to listen to you, man. Thank you.
Hey, Ryan, we appreciate you. And Boston is still not a bad route to go. I'll lead by saying this. I don't think you're getting Jason Tatum, Rozier, Smart, and then three first-round picks, albeit middle to latter first-rounders. I'm not even sure that you're getting two of those players and two of those picks for AD. Maybe you are. Maybe so. Maybe Tatum, Rozier, 14 and 22, something like that. Maybe you are. I like the fact that you threw in there. Go get a Euro. Eh, okay. And not like at a Greek restaurant, a European basketball player. That could work. I think I'd rather take my shot with a bona fide prospect. And R.J. Barrett may be a little raw, but I'll take 6'7", 202, and by some people, the National Player of the Year. Everywhere, an All-American. He consensus first-team All-American and has synergy with Zion. So Boston is not a bad bed partner for the Pelicans. I'll contend that after last night, the Knicks are just a better one. But I might like what you said better than the Lakers. Just my two cents there. All right, CD, let's get down to one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Sweep, as in the leg and the series. Sweep the leg, Houston. They've got Detroit for the final time tonight. Live from Comerica Park, Justin Verlander on the mound against Gregory Soto, who's thrown all of four innings this season. It's time for Houston to sweep the series, sweep the leg out from underneath Detroit, and win their eighth straight ball game. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're halfway home. Got Scott Alexander on the other side. You're dialed in to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running, and we're awfully fired up. Hour 2 of 2 underway. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And for the next hour, we got you, bringing you home inside the 237 Roof Studios. You know the story of the day. Trust me, it'll jump the day. It'll make it all the way to June 20 when the NBA draft sets sail and beyond. The Pelicans have landed the first overall pick. You know they're going to take Zion Williamson. How does it affect Anthony Davis? What move do they make next? We'll discuss that and more with our first guest of the program. Waiting for us aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline. I bet he's pretty fired up, too. It's Scott Alexander, host of Primetime Sports with Scott Alexander, Cox Sports Television. How are you, brother?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, Ben. How are things going in my favorite part of the state over there in Acadiana, southwest Louisiana, where reside the greatest people from the state of Louisiana and above and beyond?
At 7:52 p.m. Central Time last night, things got a hell of a lot better. What was your reaction when you saw the news?
You know where I was? I went to the LSU baseball game, and by chance, by complete luck, I had tickets behind home plate. I went up to the suite. I have a friend with a suite. He said, come on up. And I said, you know what, let me stop in the press box, say hello to a couple friends. I stopped, and sure enough, the draft thing is on, the lottery thing, and all of a sudden I see 13, 12, 10. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I got here just in time. And I see it go to 8 and 7. I'm like, okay, well, at least they're not going to be worse than they could have been. They're going to at least be status quo. And then I saw the sixth pick, and I'm like, whoa, okay, we're moving up a little bit here. Let's just hope. And I see the Knicks and Lakers are still involved, which obviously, as I'm sure you pointed out today, those would be big targets if they got the first pick. So now I'm looking at 3 out of 6 chance here. You know, what's going on? And then all of a sudden it's down to 4, and 3 of those teams are still in it. And then they went to a long commercial break. And you're not supposed to cheer in the press box, as you know, but me and some young guy named Trey – both cheered like crazy when we saw this going down. And the only thing that could have made this 100% better and just given you all the leverage in the world was if Memphis had been 4th, and then the Knicks and Lakers could have been 2 and 3. And that's the only thing. But as it stands now, you control everything, and that has not been the case since Anthony Davis made his announcement back in January that he was not going to come back next season. And now, because of where you are picking and where the Knicks are picking, and all these other things, Danny Ainge cannot fleece you anymore because you have so much leverage that you can pretty much take whatever you want off of these teams and they'll do it.
I recognize, Scott, that one of the options is still to keep AD aboard if he wants to be here, at least through the All-Star break, and see how he likes this new nucleus. How likely do you think that is?
I'm not going to say it can't happen, but it's very unlikely to me. But listen, if they don't feel they're getting what they want, you know, David Griffin, he could say, listen, let's try this thing out. Look, you know, look what happened to Paul George. He's an L.A. guy. He thought for sure he was going back to L.A., and he was going to have that 1 year over there. You know, he sees a new group. I'm talking like if this were to happen, I don't see it doing. But if it were to happen, I could see something special happen. He goes, you know what, L.A. is a dumpster fire. I'm not going to be the man in New York. I don't know. But the fact is I don't know if there's too much water under the bridge. And if he had handled things a little better after the announcement, we could have pawned off on his agent. And I don't mind actually why he did what he did, because as an agent, I understood that the Pelicans were 22 and 28. And in reality, and I'm giving the bright side for Anthony Silas, they were actually doing the Pels a favor, in my opinion, on that situation, because they were saying, look, you know what, you're not going to make the playoffs this year. Go get rid of us now while you have the maximum value for me, and now you can go to a team for, you know, we still have half the season here, and I can make them possibly a playoff contender, not just 1 year, but two. And then, so that's why he did it. Now, the things he did after, the way he said things in the media, and I don't know, maybe he's just not smart, but the fact is he just didn't handle things well, and I think the T-shirt at the end, all that's supposed to be fun, but those are jabs to people in New Orleans. And listen, I would love to see Zion and him play together, but I really think you can build something even more special if you play your cards right with some deals that I think teams will be willing to make. They're not going to want to make them, but if you hold their hand to the fire, you put them to the screws, they will make them. And then you can surround yourself with some incredibly young, talented players and still have a couple key veterans to guide the way for them.
Talking now with Scott Alexander. You can, you should. Watch his show on CST here locally, Prime Time Sports. And, of course, we're going all in on Anthony Davis, whether or not he stays. But we know that Zion Williamson will be coming in. How does he fit what they currently have on the roster? And when you combine him with Jrue Holiday, what is the next piece? Because maybe that helps shed some light on which teams offer the most applicable positions and players.
Are you asking me kind of what, if I was the GM, what I would try to do?
Basically.
Okay, let me do this. We know the Knicks are thirsting for them. And this deal shouldn't be bad for the Knicks. It just means you're going to have to give up a lot more pieces because you're not the first pick, you're the third pick. And here's what I would do. Because I would get a lot of these young players, I'm going to tell you exactly how I'm going to do it, but re-sign Elfrid Payton and re-sign you got Julius Randle if they're willing to come and explain why they should be here. Because then the Knicks, everybody knows this deal. They could get R.J. Barrett with the third pick. They could probably get Kevin Knox. But here's the thing. Now you have all the leverage, because all the Knicks really want to do is get Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to talk amongst themselves and collude amongst themselves and say, dude, we can have our own big three, and how great and dynamic would that be? And the Knicks, in their mind, they're like, you know what? We can put anybody around these guys and we're good. So now David Griffin goes to work. Now you got the third pick in this year. You got R.J. Barrett. Then you got Kevin Knox, who could be a backup three or even a, you know, your fifth best starter at three if you had to have it. To get R.J. Barrett groomed. But you have two guys that can actually play that position, which you haven't had any in a long time. Let's be real. So then you say, hey, Knicks, we want Dennis Smith Jr. You're going to get Kyrie. We demand Dennis Smith Jr., the guy that you got in your deal with Kristaps Porzingis. That's going to be a no frills. That's going to be a thing that we have to have. And all of a sudden now you have a dynamic, and I mean dynamic point guard, to go along with a pretty steady Elfrid Payton. When he's healthy, he's been really good this season. When he's not, he hadn't. And I personally, I'm going to give our rugby team a plug, because I'm interviewing him at halftime, by the way, at our rugby match on CST, 4 o'clock on Saturday. But Elfrid Payton with that. But then now what you do? Now you have those two first-rounders that they have next year, mid-first-round kind of picks, right? Then you say, we want both of those, and we are going to take both of those because, listen, you know what you want, and we don't do this deal without it. That's the thing. When you have leverage like this, that's when a GM, and I know this as an agent because I've had situations where I've been on both sides of this, and it sucks when you're not on the good side, but it is a beautiful thing when you are. And now he says, I want both those picks, And I honestly, if you hold out long enough, I think you can get him, because the more that Danny Ainge sees what they're willing to give you, he's going to start throwing more in the pot. He's going to start throwing not just Jason Tatum in a first round. He's going to start throwing Jaylen Brown and maybe a couple more first round assets that they've been piling up. And then you have a bidding war. You had none of this before you got the first round pick. And now, if you got that nucleus together, you have Jrue Holiday, you have Julius Randle, you have Elfrid Payton, and you put Kevin Knox, young guy, Dennis Smith Jr., young guy, Zion Williamson, young guy, and R.J. Barrett, young guy, I think they'd be on TNT every other weekend, don't you?
Scott, it's almost like you were streaming on the mobile app. About an hour ago, I laid out my master plan. We're close. The only big difference, I didn't have Dennis Smith Jr. as part of the equation. I'd love it if
that's
they can get him.
For me.
I'd love it if they could get him. But the part where you and I are in lockstep, I don't like the idea of keeping AD. And we've had people say, oh, you could keep him now and then attract another big-time free agent. To hell with that. I don't want to pay these cats. And then maybe they don't stick around. I want to build it the way Golden State did 5 or 6 years ago.
Yes. And you got 2 first-rounders next year, plus your own. You ship his ass right now. And I'm going to say this. He's going to be better for him. He wants to go anyway. And then now you're putting him on a team. He can't win by himself. We've proven that. He's not a leader. We've proven that. But you get Durant, who wasn't a leader perceived-wise before. Now you've seen this guy become a dog with a 2 G's on the end. And you put him and Kyrie, another guy that's perceived to be a problem child together. And I think those three would be awesome together in New York. And now you're building, like you said, like Golden State did it, with young guys that can play and are hungry and the salaries are low, which means you all of a sudden have some cap space, which you haven't had for a while.
And as a former agent, tell me if I'm looking at this the right way. I would rather deal, if I'm David Griffin, with Scott Perry, the GM of the Knicks, and more importantly, James Dolan, than I would Danny Ainge in Boston.
Look, Ainge, I've worked with Ainge, okay? I know Ainge well. We worked together for 2 years when I was doing Craig Sager's games with the Chicago Bulls. Every playoff game Michael Jordan had, 96, 97, and then he went on to do something else in 98. But he was calling the games with Vern Lundquist. So we're together a lot for 2 months both those years, right? And this dude, he'll take your underwear off of you if he thinks he can win a bet. I'm telling you, he'll fleece you. He don't care who it is. It could be his daughter. He wants to win, and he will win. He always wins. And that's the fact. Even when you think you're winning, you're getting creamed. So, and he's good at making you think you won. So, yes, of course, I'd rather deal with the New York Knicks than Dolan. But the thing is, now Ainge doesn't have the leverage he had. That's the other thing that's actually in the Pelicans' favor, because he did have that leverage. He'd probably say, I don't care how bad Jason Tatum looked at the playoffs, you ain't getting him because I know I'm your best deal. Well, that's no longer the case. And I think you're going to see all kind of teams that may even surprise you coming out of the woodwork to make this thing even more special than it could be.
My man, I know you've been blowing up radio all over the state and the country today. Thank you for coming aboard. Tell our listeners when they can watch you next, not just primetime sports. Give us a little more on NOLA Gold Rugby.
I'm going to say something about the gold first, because the NOLA Gold Rugby is the hottest thing happening in New Orleans. And this is not a New Orleans team. This is a Louisiana team, a Gulf South team, a Gulf Coast team, certainly Acadiana. And we're growing and growing. Right now, technically, we're in first place. Right now, we lost to San Diego last week, and we're a point ahead of us, but they played one more game. So points per game, we're still in first. And this thing is not minor leagues. This is major league superstars from around the world in the world's second largest sport. And it's growing rapidly. And we have our final home game of the season this Saturday at 4. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're listening anywhere from Baton Rouge to Lake Charles, it's a quick shot. Get over there. Spend the weekend in New Orleans and go support this team, because this is a winner. And they're going to be in first, and they're going to be the champions this year. This team is loaded with unbelievable talent that I believe could be NFL players. But this is a major league, man. New York and Toronto join this. Denver, obviously Seattle, San Diego, Houston, Austin, Utah in there. Next year it's going to be Atlanta. We've got Boston and D.C. coming in. And after that it's going to be Vegas, L.A., Dallas, and Chicago. This league is booming, and this team is booming. It's a team you can be proud of. And as far as the show, hey, watch it on CST. We got 2 more airings. That's going to be Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday night at 11 p.m. We have some great guests there, but you can tell them about that because I'm out of breath. All right? Love you, bro, and thanks for having me on.
Your energy is contagious. Thank you, Scott.
All right, Ben. Be good.
That's the man right there. Scott Alexander, all over the rugby scene for a professional team out of New Orleans, and his show Primetime Sports on CST. Clint, you heard that there as we head into a break. You know I don't try to steer into the skid here. I just, look, I go basically I'm a Ouija board in a moment like this. I go to where the spirits take me. Did he or did he not go full Howard Dean when describing where all the NOLA Gold rugby team is going to play?
Yeah, he definitely went there with that.
Okay, you heard that, right?
I did.
I'm not steering this somewhere where it doesn't need to go. This guy went full on Howard Dean. And didn't we just run that back maybe a week ago?
Yeah, I believe it was like a week ago today.
What are the chances that's on your sticky keys over there? At least that's my terminology for
just
it.
Just give me like a 2 seconds, I'll grab
that's
it.
Probably like 1997 terminology. You're on your IBM computer. It's the family computer. It's the only one that's in the house.
It's got LimeWire probably.
Yeah, you're you've made the move from LimeWire to Kazoo, and you're hitting like Shift F something a number of times, and that's your sticky keys. Have you found your sticky keys, sir? That's the end of it. But the whole Howard Dean rant continues to be front of mind. Thanks for having that top of mind today, Scott Alexander. We're coming right back. 5 o'clock crew. We got to take your phone call. 706-0111. We haven't just been Pels heavy today. We've darn near been Pels exclusive. And why the heck not? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Bow! Coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go, people.
Come on back to me.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Not a bad first scheduled guest of the program. We waited all the way until 5 o'clock. Scott Alexander delivered. Now here we go, right back in with more B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D for about 39 minutes. Then we're sending you to Detroit. Yeah. Stroh's looking to finish off a sweep of the Tigers. It'll be Verlander versus Gregory Soto. Between now and then, how about we continue our conversation? 706-0111. I'm throwing shade in the next segment, and I'm not going in on Colin Cowherd. That would be a little too easy. It's something I would agree with, but it's a little too easy. I've got something different in mind. It relates back to last night's events in Chicago. It is NBA draft lottery related, but it's probably not what you're thinking. I'll get there on the other side of our next break, and then a conversation about 20 minutes with James Buehrs wrapping up the prep baseball season in Acadiana. But again, you want to come in, talk Pels, what they should, shouldn't do with Anthony Davis, their most likely trade partner, hit us up now. 706-0111. While we wait, there is one other basketball-related topic. They always time the draft lottery announcement, right? The bouncing of the ping pong balls. They always time that for the beginning of the conference finals. So many people in South Louisiana getting drunk on Zion last night, and I get it, that even I kind of forgot. Oh, yeah, then they played Western Conference Final Game 1 after that, a resounding victory for Golden State at Oracle over the Portland Trailblazers. But it leads us to an interesting point, and Dwayne Wade actually made it about 4 or 5 days ago, not long after KD was pronounced out for the end of the series Rockets and Warriors. Your boy, Steph Curry, went scoreless in the first half of Game 6 and then went ape bleep in the second half, 30-plus points, and sent James Harden, Chris Paul, Mike D'Antoni, and the Rockets packing into their offseason. Not long after that, Dwayne Wade, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have it in front of me, but D. Wade somewhere on Twitter basically says, y'all don't forget how much of a bad man Steph Curry is, and just because he chose to put himself more into the team framework once KD came over because it made sense for the team, just because he intentionally kind of subjugated his game and himself, don't forget what he's like when you let that pit bull off the chain. And so last night, that's exactly what Curry was. He was off the chain. 36 points, 9 of 15 from deep. And Clint, I hate to bring this back up. Hate to take you back to school after you've already had to take the test. But when you said that it was a done deal, no questions asked, the Rockets were winning Game 6 and 7. I told you, really, this Warriors team won a championship without KD. They played for a second one without KD. There's some bad mamajamas without him.
Yeah, they're starting to prove that.
And what we're remembering now, to Dwayne Wade's point, a little less than a week ago, is that Steph Curry can absolutely still be the best player on a championship team. Yes, he's got some really good players around him. Klay Thompson was pretty good last night as well, wouldn't you say? They had a really nice overall team effort. Klay with 26, Draymond 12, 10, and 5, and multiple players coming off the bench with 9, 8, 6. You get where I'm going with this. It's a good team effort. But the guy that was the head of the snake is the one that used to be before KD came to town. The two-time MVP. And not like a Steve Nash type two-time MVP. Like a real-ass two-time MVP. Not like a Shaq-stealing MVP like the Canuck Steve Nash. Look, Nash was a hell of a player. But in that D'Antoni system way back when, I'll just say that I didn't believe in some of those MVPs he was bringing home. Not with Kobe doing Kobe things and Shaq still milling around for some of those Lakers teams. But a good reminder from Chef Curry that he can be the guy whenever he needs to be. And that series is at One Love. I absolutely hate to steal from Raising Cane's there. I hope I don't owe any royalties for using that phrase. But I do think Golden State's going to be a pretty easy in. I think you can put them in pen at this point, not pencil. Golden State's going to play for another Larry O'Brien trophy. It would be their third in a row. Durant's been the finals MVP the last 2 years. Maybe he'll be back for the finals this year. Whether he is or he isn't, I'm willing to suggest that maybe Steph Curry puts his name into that finals MVP hunt this time around. I love the Warriors' chances of getting back there. On the other side, we shall see. Tonight is game one. And how about this? The home team tonight, Milwaukee. The number one seed. They've got Toronto in town. They are 6.5-point favorites. The Bucks are 7:30 tip-off tonight in Milwaukee. Speaking of a non-major, massive market team that's hit it pretty big, wouldn't you say that the Bucks qualify? Yet another reason why Zion's going to be an awfully good stead. Anybody suggesting, Colin Cowherd, looking at you, guy, anybody suggesting that poor old Zion in a terrible spot, I think you're out of your mind. You get rid of AD. You bring in the goods from New York, Boston, maybe, just maybe L.A., and all of a sudden you're going to be able to hit one hell of a reset button. All right, we're about to head to our second break of hour number two. When we return, I'm going to throw shade, and there's a part of the draft lottery last night we haven't gotten to yet. I wondered if somebody would beat me to the punch. So far, nobody has, but I think it's perfect for throwing shade. Our friends at Patio Center, well, just so happens they concur. We're coming right back in. More Bumper to Bumper Sports live on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
The one forgotten national angle on this whole NBA draft lottery situation. I'll discuss that now. Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in on 103.7 The Game. Do not forget, James Buehr is going to join us in about 10 or 11 minutes. We will talk high school baseball. A quick note on LSU baseball, their series against Auburn. It begins tomorrow, runs through Saturday. Eric Walker, Landon Marceau, and, well, TBA is who Paul Maneri has agreed to throw out there. So still not sure about Saturday, but it'll be the sophomore righty Walker on Thursday, freshman righty Landon Marceau on Friday. As for Auburn, James Moran, Tiger Egg Magazine, put it pretty well. They're going to throw two lefties and a future first rounder. Pitching, as Moran said, certainly the War Eagles' calling card. Junior lefty Elliot Anderson's going on Thursday. Sophomore lefty Jack Owen on Friday, and the future first rounder. The goods belong to Tanner Burns, a sophomore righty with 91 strikeouts in 70 innings. So the Tigers at the plate will have their work cut out for them, and they're going to need some hardy middle relief efforts, I believe, for guys that are helping back up Walker, Marceau, and whoever they trot out to begin Game 3 on Saturday. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the forgotten angle. Your daily reminder first. No one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their professional installers. Alex will be the one to work on your shades and awnings while Todd mans the installation of your patio covers and those customizable screen rooms. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start is a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Not going in on Colin Cowherd. As I mentioned, that's a little too easy. I am, however, going in on the tankers out there. Of the worst three records in the association for the 2018-19 season, only the New York Knicks stayed in the top three after the ping pong balls bounced. Think about it. The worst three. All right, so the three with the best odds of picking in the top three going into last night were the Knicks, the Cavs, and the Suns. And look at where they are now. New York was first in line before Tuesday night. Now they're going to pick third. Phoenix and Cleveland were second and third. Where are they going to pick? Well, let me tell you. The Cavs are at number five overall, and the Suns are at number six. Last night was a great PSA against tanking. It doesn't always work. The Pelicans, the Grizzlies, and the Lakers shot up higher than many expected, landing first, second, and fourth in the NBA draft lottery pecking order. I love the fact that the Knicks' tanking effort, selling their soul and selling off Porzingis midseason to the Mavs, I love that that wasn't rewarded. The Cavs, pretty obviously tanking as well. The Suns, maybe not so much. Their rebuild is clear, but it's going to become a little more difficult. They didn't land two or three where many thought they would. Mathematically, they're at number six. And so I'm throwing shade today for all these tankers out there. You can't do what the NFL allows their teams to do. You can't try and get rich quick, a la the Cardinals now with Kyler Murray. Of course, they were so bad they had to get rid of the stinking head coach. In the NBA, they restored some order with what they did last night. And not just in the way you're thinking, not just because a non-major market team landed the top overall pick. They restored some order because they put a nice fear of God into everybody that if you tank, it may not pay off and you might be just as bad next year. So try and win some damn games.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Seriously, Clint, that was one of my absolute favorite parts of last night. The Knicks, the Cavs, and the Suns, they didn't get it done through tanking. They're going to have to find another way. They didn't deserve picks 1 through 3, not because of the way that they performed. And I love the fact that ping pong balls, right? So leaving it to chance. I know people think it's rigged, but I love that leaving things to chance gets to help prove that point.
Exactly. And it's great to see that, especially with the new way the NBA draft is. We talked about it a lot yesterday, how it's the first time ever where the top, like, or the bottom three teams all had a 14% chance, made things a lot more equal. And I think it's safe to say that this is the way it needs to be.
The NBA, rigged or not with the draft lottery system, absolutely got what it wanted last night with tankers not being rewarded. As far as the whole major market thing, that's a completely different story. But if you like the New Orleans Pelicans, and just about everybody within the sound of my voice probably qualifies for that statement, you could care less about that part. The Pels are about to build with David Griffin. They were before they got the number one pick, trust me. They certainly will now that they have the rights to Zion Williamson. From there, as Scott Alexander said earlier, they hold all the cards. They have the leverage. I'm just pretty amped that the tankers do not. All right, we have to exit stage left one final time in today's program. Don't forget, Astros at the Tigers when we're done. we're going to join Astro Launch in progress at straight up 6 o'clock. At 6:10, you got your first pitch. Houston at Detroit, Verlander versus Gregory Soto. On the other side, James Buers with the Acadiana Advocate. Only one state champ on the baseball front from this area, but a lot of teams got to Sulphur. We'll break it all down, put a bow on things next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Back in one final time. It's been a basketball-heavy edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, but now we'll switch it over to the Diamond. Talk a little baseball on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love alongside the famous Clint D. And joining us on the Ardco Equipment Hotline, James Buers, doing great work with the Acadiana Advocate. James, I know that area teams were only 1-3 in state final games. A lot of representation there, even into the semifinals at McMurray Park in Sulphur. But I do want to lead with that one champ, and it's their, I believe, first championship since 2014. The Northside Christian Warriors topped Runnels 2-1 recently to claim the Division Five champs. As we welcome you on, what can you tell us about Northside Christian?
Yeah, great pitching performance for the Warriors in the state final, really in both games at the state tournament for them. What they decided to do, at least their game plan in the semifinals, was to split up the innings between their top two pitchers, Dustin Hernandez and Keegan Foreman. Dustin is Brock Hernandez's son, and Dustin did a good job for them to start the game in the semifinals, throwing three innings, limiting Family Community to only two runs, and then Keegan Foreman came in and limited Family Community to only one run over the final four innings, and they were able to pull out a win in that one. I think the final score was 4-3 in that game. So really their plan worked to perfection. And the championship game was a little bit different. Ronald got out to a 1-0 lead, Dustin Hernandez was struggling a little bit. So they went to Foreman a little bit earlier, and he was dominant. I think he finished with something like 11 strikeouts, ended up being the game's most outstanding player. And like you mentioned, it's their first championship since 2014. The funny thing is, only two players on the current roster were on that 2014 team, one being Dustin Hernandez and another Nick Jones, but they were seventh graders at the time. So at least this time, they're kind of older, more experienced kids, and they get to close their high school careers with another championship. So a really impressive job by Northside Christian, people talk about the split and it's easier to win championships, but in baseball, things still have to go your way and you still have to play well, because even at the small school level, everybody's pretty good once you get to the state tournament. And they beat a really good Runnels team. They beat a really good Family Community team in the semifinals. So I don't think anything should be taken away from Northside Christian.
To your point, James, a couple of one-run wins over in Sulphur, so they really had to sweat it out, had to earn this one. And before we get into some of the teams that also made it to the finals, there was a huge recurring theme of weather and the delays that it caused, right? Waterlogged baseball at McMurray Park. In total, James, there were 12 championships played, 7 on the, I guess, what would be the non-select side, 5 on the select side. Any stories, any kind of, remembrances of conversations with coaches, players that you want to share? Because some of these programs, a la St. Thomas More, were interrupted before they even started their semifinal game. Others, like in Ascension Episcopal, they had to have a longer delay between the semi and the final. So what are some of the things you remember about maybe some of the challenges that presented?
Yeah, it's really interesting, especially from a pitching standpoint. So the teams that played in the semifinals on Wednesday, there was a certain amount of semifinal games on Wednesday. Those teams were allowed to bring, or were able to bring their starting pitcher back from that semifinal game for the final, no matter how many pitches he threw. Normally, the championship game is 2 days after the semifinal game, and if a pitcher goes out and throws more than 80 pitches, he can't come back for the final because he needs 2 days of rest, or excuse me, 3 days of rest. But because there was this layoff because of the weather, everybody's slate was wiped clean, so it set up this kind of situation where you had battles of aces in the finals for some of the championship games. So, for example, in the Division III championship game between Ascension Episcopal and Calvary Baptist, it was a great pitching matchup between Shawn Michael Brady of Ascension, who's going to go play at McNeese State next year, and Calgary's Tate Hart, who's a terrific junior pitcher for them, also a really good football player. And that ended up being an incredible matchup, you know, in the championship game. You know, it was a 2-1 game. Both pitchers gave up unearned runs in the first inning. Calvary got two unearned runs, essentially got one, and then the rest of the game was zero. Neither team scored after that. So both pitchers were really dominated, and unfortunately for Ascension, they just didn't get enough in the first inning to win the game. But it was impressive to watch those two kids pitch. Now, for the teams that didn't play on Wednesday, they kind of had to, you know, they weren't allowed to bring back their top pitcher for the championship game because they ended up playing Sunday, and then they played their championship game on Tuesday if they you know, won their semifinal game. So they, you know, that didn't allow their pitchers enough time to rest if they went out and threw, like I said, more than 80 pitches. But I think for, you know, I remember talking to Kyle Cormier, the Brobridge coach, you know, before their semifinal game Sunday. They were supposed to play it, I think, 1:30 or 2 o'clock on Thursday, and theirs ended up getting washed out. They never even took the field. You know, he wasn't really worried about the layoff because he thought his kids were able to adjust easily to that. You know, they were just ready to play whenever their name was called. So, and they played great in the semifinals. It didn't make a difference at all, you know. So it was interesting from the pitching standpoint, especially considering the teams that played on the Wednesday games were able to bring back their aces for the Monday final if they got that far.
He is James Buers, and he knocks it out of the park covering high school sports for the Acadiana Advocate. Right now, he's helping us put a bow on the prep baseball season on 103.7 The Game. You mentioned already Ascension Episcopal, and they got the short end of the stick, 2-1 to Calvary Baptist in the Division III final. Opelousas Catholic, the Vikings lost to the top overall seed, Wachita Christian, 7-1. The final score there, that was Division IV. Let's get back to the Brobridge Tigers. You referenced them. They made their first ever state championship game, and they lost the top overall seed, Tioga, one of the best programs in the state, 4-3. So a heartbreaking finale, but a tremendous season for an athletic department that had a magnificent 2018-19 school year, James.
Yeah, it really was a tremendous year with a kind of a bitter ending to it, you know, for Brobridge. I mean, to be quite frank, a brutal way to lose a championship game. They're up 3-1 going into the bottom of the seventh inning. They play, you know, like I wrote in my story, they played like a state champion for 6.5 innings. Their starting pitcher, Christian Gonzalez, was masterful. I mean, he entered that bottom of the seventh inning with 10 strikeouts, and he just looked completely in control. But Tioga just wouldn't go away. And keep in mind, this is the third time, I believe, in 4 years, Tioga and Brobridge have played in the postseason. So they're plenty familiar with each other. And you know, Tioga just, you know, strung base runners together. They got some hits. They drew a few walks. You know, one of their kids came up with a huge two-run single. And then they ended up loading the bases again. And a kid hit the hot shot to shortstop, and it goes off the glove. And they score the winning run and end the game. And, you know, like I said, it's just a really tough way for Brobridge to lose the game because they were so close. You know, they're still looking for their first state championship in school history, but still they got there, and they had never been to the state final before this year. You know, they had been to the state tournament 4 previous times and lost in the semifinals every time. But you know, they got over one, you know, barrier this year by getting to the state final. Now they'll look to win it all the next time they get to Sulphur. But, you know, the Brobridge is going to be perfectly fine. They're going to, you know, Kyle Cormier is a tremendous coach. You know, he told me before, he's always wondered if you know, the last time they get to Sulphur would be the final time. They wouldn't get there. But he seems to be able to produce terrific teams every year and have really talented players. So I think the Tigers will be back in Sulphur soon and have a shot to win a state championship again. But it just wouldn't prove to not be this year, unfortunately, to them.
You look at the rest of the champions, James, from Sulphur, and a couple of adjacent Acadian area teams, right? Or at least teams that are in the same districts as many of our own locally. Barb won in 5A, Kinder in 2A, Oberlin in 1A. But I'll get you out of here on this. It's been a while, to be frank, since anybody but Turlings Catholic won the state championship in Division II. It looked like the STM would have a real chance. They lost a nail-biter in the semis to St. Charles. And St. Charles goes on as the number 6 seed to beat number 1 U-High 7-4. How big of an upset was that in your eyes? And I guess put into perspective with everything that happened in Sulphur, was that the biggest upset of the final games?
You know, I don't know if I'd call it the biggest upset because, you know, I saw St. Charles Catholic play SGM in the semifinals, and I was super impressed with them. They got a tremendous performance by their top pitcher, Kale Levantino. And then, you know, it's funny because he's pitched great for them, but they've got depth behind him, and the kid who pitched in the championship game was really, really good for them as well, and they hit the baseball really well. The thing against SGM is, they put on a bunting clinic. You know, I think they were worried that they wouldn't be able to scratch, you know, get enough hits against Drew McDaniel, who's the SGM stud pitcher who's going to Ole Miss. So they laid down bunts and they executed to perfection, and they ended up winning that game. I believe it was 5-2. But in the championship game, they really, you know, were able to swing the bats well. So I don't know if I'd call it an upset. I think the biggest thing is, you know, St. Charles Catholic had been to the state championship game 7 times before that and lost every time. So this 8th time is their first time winning a state championship. But, you know, that program's had so much success, it just seemed like a matter of time before they'd win one. And, you know, I remember the coach, Wayne Stein, telling us after the SGM game that, you know, they expected to be here. They expected to get to the championship game. They had a lot returning from last year. So it's not a total surprise. And, you know, even last year when Terling played St. Charles Catholic in the semifinals, Mike Thibodeau, Terling's coach, was singing St. Charles Catholic's praises so much just about how good of a baseball team they were and how difficult it was to beat them. So it's really not a surprise to me that St. Charles Catholic won it all this year. But, you know, obviously when they beat the number one seed, I guess it looks like more of an upset than it might actually be.
He's our go-to on B2BS. We need prep analysis. James, again, all these schools we're talking about, all these programs, they had great academic calendar years. You did as well. I know your job doesn't stop now. You got the end of spring football. You got everything leading into next football season. We look forward to catching up again soon, but I know you've got some much-deserved rest coming your way.
I appreciate it, Ben. Thanks so much, man.
And how's that for a way to end today's show? Yes, it has been New Orleans Pelicans. Not just heavy. I mean, it's damn near taking this thing over, right? Like weeds in your garden, ivy on your fence, and that's just the way you'd like it for the biggest day in the history of the franchise, at least since they switched nicknames, right? From the Hornets to the Pelicans. Got to thank all of our guests. I'm running out of time. My name is Ben Love, and this has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. We'll catch you tomorrow from the Tap Room River Ranch.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is KL.